If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This morning, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we look at this day as a day of honor and to thank our mothers for all they've done in our lives, and they haven't. Listen, if it wasn't for our mothers, we wouldn't be here today. Amen? And I read this past week, and I think everybody in here will agree. I thank God that my mother was pro-choice, amen, or pro-life, amen. I just about messed up. Look at there. I'm glad my mother was pro-life. She didn't even think about pro-choice. That's right. See, y'all messed up. I'm trying to mess me up. It's a day that is considered by scholars to have evolved from ancient Roman culture and has lasted to reach our culture today as we celebrate motherhood. Mothers are quite unusual sort of people, as we all know. They're encouragers. Our mothers are encouragers. Even when we probably shouldn't be encouraged, they continue to encourage us. I mean, that mothers have a way of seeing their babies. They see the best in them. Right? They do. Even when everybody else sees they are rotten, no good, just unbelievable, just spoiled, rotten kids that don't deserve nothing, mothers, that's my baby. I mean, it's, you know, and that's just the way they encourage. They're also providers. My children get more than they deserve. And it has absolutely nothing to do with me, Gidget. It's because of Mama. If it wasn't for Mama, they wouldn't get in my bank account and get the things that they get. But Mom is a provider. Moms are great providers. Moms are caregivers. They're nurses, doctors, cooks, taxi drivers, and all too often, maids. Shouldn't be. You hear me? It shouldn't be. But they become maids. If our children would just learn at an age, and this goes back to you know what Solomon said, beat them with a rod and they will not die. You beat them with a rod, you'll deliver their souls from hell. Amen? You know, if parents would do this more often, moms wouldn't have to be maids, right? You know, this is what happens. I know this doesn't happen in your house, but it happens in my house. It happened this morning. Go and get a bowl of cereal and sit there and eat it. Oh, thank God I didn't have to pay for this cereal. It's so wonderful. I'm so thankful for this cereal and for this food. Oh, I'm so thankful that they washed it and put it in the dishwasher. Nah. They just, one left it on the table. The other one left it in the sink. Right? Just left it in the sink. Dishwasher's empty. Just left it in the sink. Hey, mothers and dads, maids. Mothers are great listeners for the most part and providers of great wisdom. At least they'll try and spout that wisdom, right, Karen? I mean, we try to inspire our children to be wise, and every opportunity they mess up or you know we can insert wisdom, we try to throw that wisdom right there in front of them. Some mothers are somewhat psychic in their abilities to see what's coming before it even comes. Am I right? Hey, listen, I was scared to death, Dan, when I used to go out on Friday and Saturday nights. I was scared to come home at first because I figured my mom done found something out. Y'all have that innate ability to find things out when you shouldn't know what's going on. But they do. Mothers are somewhat psychic. Church, I know that all women who have the privilege of having children are not and should not be considered mothers. Did y'all hear me? Listen to me what I'm saying again. I know that all women who have the privilege of having children are not and should not be considered mothers. What are you talking about? Because they're not mothers. They don't raise their children. They let society raise them, or they let the jail raise them, or they let the school system raise them. They're not raising them. They don't deserve the title as mothers. They really don't. But in the grand scheme of life, I can't help but think that most women who have children, or even women who help raise children, want what is best for all children. All children. especially their own, but not just their own. They want what is the very best for every single child. Now, I've personally watched my wife through the years, and I must tell you that some of the biggest tears that have flowed from my wife's eyes didn't come because of our children. They could have. Don't get me wrong. They're not perfect. You hear me? The tears didn't come because of my children, but because of how she saw other children being treated. I could spend all of my time with you this morning in the book of Wisdom or the book of Proverbs teaching you how God's Word tells us a child should be raised and how a child should treat his parents. Hey, children, how you should treat your parents. Told the Boy Scouts this past Friday night, Scripture says, obey your parents, for this is right in the eyes of the Lord. It will give you long days. In other words, if you don't obey your parents, guess what? Don't count on being 80. You know how long you're supposed to obey your parents? They still alive? That's right. You're supposed to honor your parents even if they're not with you anymore. Honor your parents. How can you honor them if they're not here? By what they taught you. The way they taught you to live and how they taught you to live and how they taught you to walk. I want us to see that our founding Jewish fathers, there was a model. And I want us to look at that model as to how to raise our children. Scripture doesn't keep us blind. Amen? It doesn't keep us in the dark. We don't have to wonder. God gave us an example. So look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The meat of this message is going to come from verse 7 through 9, but we're going to start at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you. Who are we talking about here? Who's talking here? Moses. This is what God instructed Moses to teach his people. So, why did he give us this? Well, he tells you, so that you may follow them in the land that you're about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God for all the days of your life by keeping his statutes and commands I am giving you, your sons and your grandson, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Verse 7, repeat them to your children. Moms, dads, Scripture says, Moses says, from the heart of God, repeat these words to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your home, your house, and on your gates. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you again for the mothers. We thank you for all mothers. Lord, we pray that you would be with us right now. You'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts for the short time that we're here this morning. Help us, Lord, to experience your grace, your mercy, your love. Help us to feel your spirit. Lord, be with us now. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. This scripture was recited that I just read, verse 7 through 9. This scripture was recited at every Jewish service. It's called their confession of faith. Now, some of you who are really Bible scholars will know what I just read, verse 7 through 9, is called what? The Shema. The Shema. What is it? Why was it recited? Why was it recited every time they came together? Why? Why? One of the same reasons why when we have Wednesday night Bible study, I come in here and just about every Wednesday night I'll ask my Wednesday night crowd, and listen, If you're not a part of my Wednesday night crowd, you are invited. This is your personal invitation. Come Wednesday night. We open the Word of God and we dive deep. And it's getting ready to get better because we're going to be talking about the greatest man who ever walked this earth, and that's Christ Jesus. Step by step, we're going to methodically just go in detail about his life. Every single step. You're all invited. Stanley, it's free. Free. I'm not going to charge you anything. Just come in the doors. We're going to take up an offering, but it goes to the Jerusalem Project, but you don't have to put anything in it. It's free. Why? Why in the world did they recite it? Time and time and time and time again. Tony, it'd get boring, wouldn't it? Oh, you know, here we go. Here we go. We're going to do the Shema again. Why did they do it? So they didn't forget. That they would remember. It was important. It was at the very forefront. They did not need to forget what Moses had heard from God and God had told the people. Don't forget this. It's important. If you go to my office right now, you'll walk in my office door. And as soon as you walk in the office door, there's a plaque. And it was handmade. Somebody at Papa, you could have done it. But what it is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. It's important that I understand it. We found it at a Goodwill. And when we found it, I just could not believe that somebody would take that to the Goodwill. Why? Because our families need this. We need to understand it and apply it. Well, let me ask this. Or let me make this comment. What must you do to be a godly parent? Scripture just told us. Scripture just told us. Is there anybody in here who says, you know, I've got enough God in my life. I don't need to be a better godly parent. Hey, listen, I want to be more of a godly parent every day. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Brother, you say that a lot. You must not be perfect. I'm not. I don't ever want to put on a persona that I am the absolute perfect parent. I'm not. Close, but I'm not. Okay? Now, please understand, God has given us a manual on how to raise our children. God has given you a manual how to raise your children. Do you hear me? We're not blind here. You do not have to go to Dr. Phil. You don't have to go to Oprah. You don't have to go to Dr. Spock. God's Word will give you all of the answers. All of them. Now listen, let me tell you, just because God's Word gives you all the answers, these knotheads down here, they're not always going to listen. They're not. But we are to give them the answers. Whether they digest it and ingest it, that is their responsibility. Our responsibility as parents is to give them the answers, the right answers. You can kick them all day long, but they might not move 2 inches. You hear me? But it is our job to give them the answers. Please know that, listen, please know, I am not your children's example.
Well, I bring my children to church so they can look at the preacher and, you know, they can get, you know,
holy. I am not your children's example. You are. That's why I preach as hard as I do. Listen, your children are going to come to church half as often as you do. That should scare some of you half to death.
Well, I only come twice a month.
That should scare you to death. You do the math. If you only come twice a month, how often are they going to come? You're your parents. You're your children's example. You have just a few short years to mold your children's spiritual life, and you'd better take it seriously. You hear me? You have just a few short years to raise your children and mold them spiritually. You better take it seriously. When your child is grown and gone, and they choose to turn their back on God, that is not your fault. It's not God's fault. Listen to me. If you raise them right from children on, it's their fault. They know the answers. Because you've constantly been giving them the correct answers. Amen? Now, what can you do? What can parents do? What can moms do? Because, I believe I love my children. I really do. But there's times I think my wife loves them more than I do. Why? Because she's the mama. Moms, what can you do? What can you do to help your children? Number one, pour their foundation deep. This scripture tells us, pour their foundation deep. You have to. Let there be no doubt, God needs to be their foundation. But you must be the one who pours their foundation deep. It's got to be deep. It can't be just surface level. Well, what do you mean just surface level? Well, you know, bring them to church on Sunday morning, and that's it. Hey, listen, you need to be talking to them about the Lord every single day, and we're going to get that here in a second. You need to be reading the Scriptures. You need to be in the Word of God. That way, listen, Bill, when they do mess up, Angela, when they do mess up, you can look at them, and not with, you know, sarcasm or judgment. Just look at them and say, you know what the Word of God says? When they come to you, when they fail or when they have problems in life, you know, it's great that you have wisdom within you. Well, let me tell you what I did when I was your age. Let me tell you how I overcame it. You know what they really need to hear? This is what God's Word says. This is what the Word of God says. This is what God says you should do when you're facing these problems. Listen, moms, as you pour your children's foundation, there are a few personal tasks you must perform yourself. As you're looking at their foundation, there's some things that you need to do yourself personally. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says this. Do this. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life. You know, we're seeing this all throughout the Old Testament. And we need to remember every time we see fear the Lord, fear the Lord. We need to go all the way back to Proverbs what? 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? All wisdom. All wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. So let's read it again, verse 2. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all His statutes and commands. I'm giving you your sons and your grandsons so that they may have long life. Well, as you pour your children's foundation, there are a few personal tasks you must perform. So number one is this, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You need to be afraid of the Lord. Scripture tells us that we're to fear no man, but we're to fear the Lord. But what's strange, Mr. White, is this. In our lives, we do the exact opposite. We are scared to death of men and circumstances and situations. I can't do that. I can't tell somebody about you. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You're not to fear man. And we don't fear the Lord. Listen, you know, if you actually feared the Lord the way you should, there's some things you wouldn't say. There's some things you wouldn't do. There's some things you wouldn't watch, and there's some places you wouldn't go. Quiet. Stanley, it's quiet. We're mixed up here. We need to quit fearing man and start fearing God. Amen? We really should. So number one, he says, there's some things you need to do. First thing you need to do, moms, dads, parents, you need to fear the Lord. The second thing he says is this, keep my statutes and my commandments. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Let me find verse 5 myself. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How many times do y'all see this in Scripture? It's everywhere. We're to obey the statutes and commands of God. If you're digging your foundation deep, there's some things you need to understand. Fear the Lord, and listen, don't just teach your children to obey the commandments and statutes of God. Obey them yourself. How in the world can we expect our children to obey God when we don't obey Him ourselves? We can't. Thirdly, he says this, don't just while your children, don't do this just while your children are children, but all the days of your life. Look at verse 2 again, part B. It says, fear the Lord your God all the days of your life. Not just today, Ricky, not just tomorrow, this month, next week. We're to fear the Lord all the days of our life. You as a parent must be constant and consistent in your walk with the Lord. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. I love to hear stories from my wife because she, as a school teacher, she can't just come in there and kick the door down and say, everybody sit down, I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. She can't. They will fire her. And I kind of count on those health benefits that my wife, you know, that's good stuff. She can't do that. What can she do? She can walk it, and she can live it. I love to hear the stories of people who graduate years ago, and they talk to Amy on Facebook or they email her and say, you will never know the difference that you made in my life. Never know the difference you made in my life. By the way you talked to me and the way you treated me and the way you acted around me. Now, she couldn't come in there and Kenny and beat them with the Bible, but she could love them as the Bible teaches her love. Amen? Every single one of them. Love them. That's what a mother does. So we need to be consistent and be constant in our walks, moms, dads, parents. Listen, as you prepare your child's foundation, there are some intentional tasks that you must perform as well. You need to prepare yourself with what I just talked about as far as fearing the Lord and keeping the statutes, but there's some intentional tasks that you need to perform as well. Look at verse 6 again. Verse 6 says, these words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house. And when you lie down and when you get up, bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Let them be on the doorpost and of your house and on your gates. There's some intentional things that Moses is telling us that we need to do there. Number one, teach your children about God's commands when and how. Diligently. Diligently. Do you know what this woman does? Now, she's the decorator. She is. I'm the loader and the hauler. That's right. We have moved 6 times in 9 years. Anybody want to sign up for that? Me either. I don't. I mean, and a lot of times it's just been we moved twice since we've been here. It's crazy, isn't it? I am the mover and the hauler. Miss Shirley, Amy is the decorator. She's the decorator. And she's studied this scripture. She has. Because if you walk around my house and you look on the walls, there's stuff all over the walls that says Amazing Grace. And then it has scriptures here. You know, we don't have it yet, but I want that scripture somewhere. We're going to have it somewhere. Beat them with a rod. They will not die. I might get that and put it on their bedroom doors. I don't know. But there's scripture all over the house, everywhere. You know, you go to a Christian bookstore and they have the little wood blocks like this right here and they have the scriptures all over them. They're everywhere. We've got pictures with scriptures all over the place. There's some things, intentional things, you as mothers need to do, and you need to do it diligently. Where? Well, he tells us, in your home. In your home. You know what? Again, I don't know what you do in your house. I really don't. And some of y'all might come in my house and say, oh, golly, I can't believe, look at the preacher. Look at what the preacher allowed. But, you know, in my house, we walked into one of our children's bedrooms one time, and there was a calendar on the wall. And there weren't naked models on there, but there were half-naked models on the wall. And you know what we did? We took it down. Took it down. Well, that's his room. He should be able to do what he wants to. Oh, excuse, really? Really? No, that's not how it is at my house. See, that's my house. I pay the water, the electric, the cable. When they want to, they can start renting, right? But they still aren't going to hang it up in my house. Diligently, we're supposed to be teaching this diligently in your house. Well, what else? When you walk by the way, suggest in everyday life. Everyday life. You know what we ought to do? We ought to, as our children talk to us throughout the day, and they're talking to us, and you hear them say something, it ought to trigger something, Ricky, and we ought to say, you know what the Word of God says? Our children sometimes get tired of hearing that. They really do. You got to bring Jesus into everything, don't you, Dad? Huh? You got to bring God's Word into everything. Well, yeah, this is what the Scripture's talking about here. In the way, every single aspect of life. When they lie down and when they rise up, suggest that teaching them about God should be the last thing you do before they go to bed and the first thing you do when they wake up out of bed. Moses and God are pretty, what's the big deal? I mean, they're pretty serious about this, inserting God in the children's lives. Well, it is a big deal. We don't take it serious enough, church. Listen, let's look at the result of no foundation. Results of a faulty life. Church, we're seeing with our eyes the results of raising children apart from God and His words. Is anybody impressed? Look at our society. Look at our schools. Listen, go to the job market where there's a bunch of teenagers. We are seeing with our own eyes children who were raised with no God or no respect and no fear of God. Is anybody in here impressed with the results? I'm not either. I hear horror stories from parents about their kids. These kids get to be around 14 or 15. Y'all listen. Y'all, hey, is somebody texting down there? These kids get to be about 14 or 15 years old, and they're never exposed to God or the Word of God, and the parents bring them to me, to the church, wanting me to fix their problem that they caused themselves. Listen. Parents, get your lazy behinds up out of the bed every single Sunday and bring your children to church. I had a parent tell me this one time. I can't make her get up out of bed. Listen, by God, I never had that problem in my house. I'm going to testify to you, right? I still don't. I don't. We have a hallelujah meeting sometime. And I've never really had to do it, but you know what I told that woman? I said, I see your problem. I do. I used to have a golf club, Keith, in my office at this particular church because I never knew what was going to happen. And I looked at this woman, and I love her. And I said, you know what I'd do if I was you if your child wouldn't get up out of bed and come to church with you? And she said, what? And I reached across my desk, and I grabbed that golf club, and I slammed it on my desk. I said, I'd take it. I'd just beat her until she got up out of bed. Really? Yeah, she's your child. Hey, listen, parents, if you are scared to beat your children and to raise them and nurture an admonition under God's word, listen, society is going to beat them. Society is going to do way worse than anything that you could ever do to them. Well, I just don't believe Christians ought to beat their children. Well, hey, listen, you need to get in God's Word because God's for it. He really is. It's all in the book of Proverbs. Well, I just don't believe it. Brother Frank, they need to trust me, don't they? But don't just trust me. Read it yourselves. That's really what this lesson's all about. I can't fix your children. Raising a child in the eyes of the Lord starts, listen to me, starts day one. Day one. Day one. Jennifer and Jeff just found out they're going to have a baby. Day one. Now, I'm sure, like myself, Jennifer, you probably read your Bible at some point in time of day, every day, right? Do you read it out loud? No, you read it quietly. Don't you find a quiet place and hopefully, and read it aloud. Let your baby hear it. Junior Hill told a story years ago. He's one of my favorite Southern Baptist evangelists. His wife was all about teaching the children, the grandchildren, every single day. Every single day. And he told a story about his daughter who was pregnant, and she had the baby, and I think it was in Atlanta. And he said, we loaded up the car, and we got our guns, and we went to Atlanta and walked in the door. And he said, I saw my beautiful little girl with the baby, and I watched my wife pick that baby up and just sit there and cry and held that baby. And he said, the interesting thing is what I heard come out of her mouth. He said, I'm the evangelist. I'm the preacher. He said, I didn't even do this, but my wife did. Baby. Now, a baby. Baby. Just fresh out of the mother's womb. The grandmother's holding that baby, and she's saying, darling, do you know that Jesus loves you? That Jesus died for you? And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead that you might have eternal life? Day one, we as parents need to be instilling the Word of God, pouring the Word of God, the love of God into our children's hearts and their minds. There are benefits from a firm foundation. Look at verse 6, part 2. Verse 6. These words that I have given to you today are to be in your heart. To be in your heart. We don't need to prolong the days, church. Why? Because those words desperately need to be in our children's hearts. Listen, he also tells us that there's another benefit from a firm foundation. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly. Because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. God's promised us something. If we have this spiritual desire and we pour this not only to ourselves but our children, he says that we'll prosper physically and spiritually. That's a good thing, church. It really is. Parents, you're making some sort of impact in your children's lives and other children's lives. Only you and God know what that impact is. I don't. There was an author by the name of Timothy McGuffin, and he wrote a book called Rebuilding the Foundation. And he says this considering his children. The cost was greater by instilling the Word of God. The cost was greater, but the end result is that his house is still standing. Praise God. Amen? It's hard. I'm not going to tell you. Listen, I'm not going to tell you it's not hard fighting hard-headed teenagers and trying to instill the Word of God. It's hard. It is hard, but it's worth it, because the end result in years to come, with the help of everything that you've done and what the Word of God inspires, their foundation will still be standing. Their house will still be standing. Standing strong for all the efforts that you've put into it. Let me ask, are you willing to go to any extreme to pour the foundations deep with your children that God has entrusted you with to grow in Him? Are you willing? Are you willing to pour the foundation deep? Scripture tells you how to this morning. He didn't hide it from us. Now, are you willing? Do you really love your children to pour that foundation deep? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you how you inspire us. God, we thank you for loving us so much that you've told us the truth. You tell us the truth over and over and over and over again. God, I pray that you'd help us, that we might fear you in a greater way, that it might help our children to always love you. I pray that you'd be with us right now. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning who needs to just come down to the altar, that, Lord, that you would give them the peace of mind just to walk down this aisle. God, if there's a person in here who's been a rebellious child, God. They know they've caused their mom heartache and pain. I pray that you would have that child, no matter what age they are, to walk this altar, to ask you to forgive them. And when they walk through these doors here in a few minutes to go out, they'll get on the phone and they'll call their mom and ask their mom to forgive them. God, let the day be a day of just unbelievable love, not only from you, but that we might display the love that you've given us back to our mothers, back to those who've loved us so much. In Christ Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?